First of all, I'd like to give a warm welcome for Boaz being over here. So I'll just do a brief introduction. We're going to also have he's going to be sharing tomorrow morning at the Sunday morning service, and then we're going to have a luncheon, and we'll do a similar format where we're going to have a time for Q&A. So he's going to be sharing a little bit from the Word, but also a lot of what God's brought him through, what he's going to, the vision for the future. And just so it's wide open for Q&A as well, if you guys have questions, okay, as we go into it. I just want to briefly say the way that we met was through my daughter, Joanna. Joanna spent 5 months over in Africa with Derek and Lauren Weber. And it was while she was over there that she met Boaz's wife. Then through her, we met Boaz. And it's just been wonderful ever since. So he is in America for 2 months right now. He just came straight here and is going to be going to Washington, D.C., going to Minnesota first, and then to D.C. to, you guys will love this, the Bible Museum, to be speaking at a conference there for a missionary organization that sends out, supports medical personnel. Boaz is a medical doctor, and he'll be sharing about just what God's laid on his heart. So awesome. Let me turn it over to you right now. Okay, is that good?
Thank you so much. It is overwhelming for me to be here. I'm very, very glad that God made this possible for me to be able to come. If you don't hear me well, or my accent is difficult, let me know so that I can slow down.
Otherwise, if I can hear you, everybody can hear you.
Good.
And that's what my hearing aids in.
Okay. I know some of you from Zoom. Yes. Some of you from Zoom. We have been, I got to know you guys, it has always been a privilege to, whenever I had an opportunity to go on Zoom and participate in the men's Bible study, I would do it because it was good. And I just thought, I thought, Pastor Steve, if it is possible to go back on Zoom, yeah, for some people who are just away, to continue to participate. So thank you for having me. Receive greetings from my family, my wives, and the two children. They are doing fine. Awesome. It is, I think, I don't say unfortunate, but I think, God willing, next time we'll be together. So thank you for welcoming me. I told Pastor Steve that this is going to be difficult for me because I don't know where to start from and what to say. And then he said, okay, I will help you. I will help you, and we'll have this. That will make it easy. So before we start, I want to read the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1. It's easy. I'm just going to read, as this is a message, my message to you, brothers. Verse 3, thanksgiving and prayer. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. I always, in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to the completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Amen.
This letter was from Paul to the Philippians, but this morning it's from my heart to you. I say this because since the day you became partners in the gospel with us, you have been a blessing to us. You have been a blessing to us in many ways, spiritually. Every day, we go to church in the morning, but also in the evening, because when you are here in church service, if it is evening on the other side, we participate on live, because we feel connected. We feel connected with this church. We feel connected spiritually. We feel like there is something that we have here that makes us want not to miss. We feel like we want to see you brothers. Yeah. My wife feels like want to see the ladies. Yeah. Yeah. Want to see the ladies for some reason. Though from a distance, we have a connection. A spiritual connection and mission connection. You came into our lives when time was hard for us. I had just finished my residency program in Kenya. And we had just been accepted, I and my wife, as missionaries through World Gospel Mission. But we had no financial support. We had no financial support. And my stipend for the residency was over. And then, somehow, God knowing what he does, you came in. Yeah, you came in. You came in when my heart was like, what do I do, God, with my family? Because I was expecting, for example, the residency program to continue to support us until we graduate. But the moment we finished, I did my last exam, and they were like, you are done. Yeah. You are done because we have nothing else to do with you. You have finished. You passed. So despite if graduation is going to happen in 5 years, we are done with you. Yeah. And it was a very difficult time for me and for my family. But God sent you. And you have since that time been a blessing to us. So when I am saying, reading this letter to of Paul to the Philippians, it's because he knew what they have done for him. He knew how they were partners in the advancing of the gospel. What they have done for him to be where or what he did. It's the same thing. It's the same feeling. It is, comes from our heart that these words of Paul to the Philippians are our words to you. Mm-hmm. We thank you. This is a thanksgiving. We may not be praying every day, as Paul said here, yeah, for you. But whenever we remember, we pray for you. We pray for the church. We bless God for you. So feel that we appreciate you. We appreciate you. And feel that in whatever we are doing, you have a role. You are doing the same. We may be the one on the ground, but you are the one pushing us. Mm. We are the one on the ground on the other side, you are the one holding us. Mm. Yeah. So we are together in Africa. We are together. Because without you, maybe we may quit. Yeah. Maybe we may be like others, but with your support we are doing what we are doing. in Africa.
Amen.
Thank you.
You know, if I could fill in a little bit of the timing of this, and what's really unfortunate is there's no way we can condense into 45 minutes all that God has been doing in his life. And just to hear from young, early age, how it's like the Lord sent the right person at the right time to continue this vision that Boaz has had on his heart, which I'd like you to share about in going back to Burundi and so forth. But to see, as we were talking yesterday about how, like he mentioned, at that time where his residency came to an end, so the stipend he's receiving is coming to an end, and yet there is no opportunity for like 5 months down the road to do something. And it was just at that time that my daughter was over there and had already gotten to know his wife, because they all lived on the same compound at the hospital. And she just, you know, we're of course talking with her all the time, and she's telling about what's going on. And she goes, hey, there's, you know, this lady I met, and they're missionaries over here, national missionaries. And do you think our church would be looking to support a missionary or something? I was like, huh, you know, I don't know. And a quick backstory is we've only supported like three or four missionaries at a time, as far as our church goes. And we had just had two come off the field within the last year, maybe, of that time. So in this, and financially, the church was doing fine. So in reality, we were, and that's what really started it up. And as a church board, we made the decision to start helping them out. And to hear it from his side, you know, it's kind of like the lifeline that comes in. But that's been the story, really, of your life and how God has been working. And to be part of how God is working in this timeline is just, it's really pretty special for us as a church ministry to be involved in that. Can you share a little bit about the, you've gone through medical school, you've done your residency, and what is the vision you've had on your heart for all of this? Oh yeah, go ahead.
I forgot. No, I didn't. I wanted to mention that we as a group here appreciate you.
Amen.
And your family. And the things you're doing in Africa.
Thank you.
You and your wife and all the people you're associated with are the hands and feet. You're doing the physical work over there. I was thinking that we are the heart. And a heart pumps the blood and supplies the nourishment to the hands and feet. Does that put it in medical terms?
Got it.
Again, we appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Yes, I am a product of God's doing. I don't take anything or credit to anything that God has done in my life. I was telling Pastor Steve that if I did anything else that the Lord has commanded me to do, I think God will sit and say, I'm very disappointed. I am very disappointed. How did I not see this happening? Because the story of my life starts when I'm a childhood. With this country, Burundi, as you can see, this is the continent of Africa. And Burundi is that tiny point, yeah? This tiny point here. So it's among the smallest countries in the world. And then this is what is magnified here. This is the country, we call it the heart of Africa because of the shape, it's the heart, mm-hmm. Yes? Yeah. And then it's the heart of Africa because it's almost like the location. We call it the heart of Africa. So this tiny country has been, I cannot tell my story without going back, Pastor
no.
Steve. I will just try to summarize, and they will ask questions. So it has been, the story starts from the colonization. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so with colonization happening, you know, colonization, how it went, and the colonizers favored some group of people over the other. So because of that, some people who were not favored thought that they were marginalized, yeah, mistreated for years and years. And that brought conflict between two main tribes in the country, that's one willing to overthrow the other over power so that they can get the same benefits that others are enjoying. So since 1940s, 60s, yeah, Burundi has been like in political and civil strife. Mm-hmm. So war or crisis, war, like every 10 years something has to happen. But the worst came to pass, the one that I know of was 1993, when there was a coup against an elected, democratically elected president, and then now it was an open war between the two major tribes of the country. You kill two of my people, I kill 10 of your people. You kill 10, I kill 100 of your people. So that led to a civil war. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we had to flee. My family, we had to flee to DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, in 1994. Mm-hmm. So that's when I became a refugee. And then was in the refugee camp. At that time, 1994, I was 10. I'm old.
Yeah.
So I became a refugee, and the refugee camp, has anyone been a refugee?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a refugee in a refugee camp, you know what happened. It's a refugee camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a mess. So that's where my calling to be a doctor started, because of the conditions, life conditions that I was seeing. You know, today we'll be here like with kids, you know, kids that are playing. Tomorrow, one or two are gone. Yeah, because of diseases that could be prevented, but yeah, it's a refugee camp. Yeah, no doctors, there are no doctors and nurses, but you have like hundreds and thousands of people, like this Borrego full of people, refugees, camp, things like that. So hygiene, not good. That's where my calling for being a doctor started. I didn't think about it, but I think it's God that spoke to me that time. Mm-hmm. And we've time, he did a sequence of event that I ignored as just a boy, but that came to be, I came to realize that this is what God doing when I finished high school, and I wanted to do law. You say law?
Law. Practice law. Be a lawyer. Yeah.
Be a lawyer. And I wanted to be a lawyer for revenge purposes. Mm-hmm. Because my brother and my father, they had been killed by the other tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So I had evil motives of becoming a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I requested it to be a lawyer. But surprisingly, the commission that is supposed to give measures to do gave me medicine. Yeah, the lady, we were two people, something that they consider if you have high grades or high marks, okay, they will, you ask for something and then the commission says, no, you are not meant for that, you are meant for this. So the lady who, marks-wise, or if they consider the grades, was supposed to be given medicine, she was given then law. And me was given medicine. So it started to become clear of what the Lord was doing. I went to medicine. The sequences went on. God bringing at each step of my studies something, someone. Because my father had died. My oldest brother had died. I think it's the same thing in Africa. When your father dies, the oldest son take over. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the oldest son was gone the same day, and so I'm the fifth child in the family, so it means I had to take over the responsibility. So despite all those things, yeah, I made it. God was bringing someone at every step to help me go to school. During school then, God took me to a very remote place to do my internship. And that's where my calling again became clear, where I am supposed to serve. Because I could relate with the people I am seeing. Yeah, the people who come to the hospital because they have no otherwise. If someone comes to the hospital, it's because they have been sick maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then hoping like, let me stay home. It will be fine because I don't have money to go to the hospital. Hoping that they will get better. So the moment they come to the hospital means medically they are dying. But they have no other option. I'm dying either way. So let me die there. You, a tablet of Tylenol, I don't know how much it costs here. How much it would
like Tylenol. One tablet.
Yeah. One tablet.
You can get a bottle of 50 for $2.
So. There are people who cannot afford that. Mm-hmm. One, not just that thing, that one tablet. They could not afford that. They come to the hospital, you even prescribe that, they couldn't afford. My heart was broken, kabisa. Oh, Swahili. Was broken. I could see myself in the refugee camp. I could see myself where people were dying because of lack of care. People were dying because of lack of, because of poverty. My heart was like, God, I know I have to be here. I finished residency, God took me back to DRC. It's like, yeah, where the things started, mm-hmm. where the calling started. In a mysterious way, he took me back to resident, to DRC, and my heart was shut. I knew for sure after 3 months in that DRC, again, that I needed to learn more, to know more, so that I can help people across age and across diseases. Mm-hmm. While in medical school, I wanted to be a cardiologist. That was the thing that I worked on most of the time. I'd write a paper, I would do on cardiology. I read, it would be a cardiology. Yeah, I had taken an option of cardiology, like if I was to specialize now, I would do cardiology. But once I went to internship and then took DRC back, my heart was no. Cardiology will be just for a specific number of people. I will not be having the children, mostly the mothers who are pregnant, things like that. So I saw a vision of like, I need broad knowledge on something bigger because I knew this is God giving me the opportunity. Mysteriously, God again brought some people who led me to family medicine. And then my heart was at peace, and I knew this is what I wanted to do. And God brought MedSend, which is the organization that I'm going to speak to sponsor my studies in Kenya. That's how I ended up in Kenya, because it was God creating paths for me to be in Kenya. And now, I know God has called me to medical field, but also advancing Christ through medical field. There is nothing, everything that we do without Christ is zero. It is meaningless. Yeah. Treating someone and go be well, they will be fine, but they will be losing eternal life. Mm-hmm. You know, so you cannot separate medical healing from the spiritual healing. If we look in Mark chapter 2, when they brought the paralytic to Jesus, you know, that guy had the good friends. Yeah? That guy who was paralytic, and then he had friends who brought him to Jesus, and then they found that the room was full already. There was no place to squeeze him. So those men were... I wish everyone had those kind of friends. Life, you know? Those friends like, no. You need to meet Jesus. You need... I wish I was there to see how they are doing these things. You know, you need to meet Jesus. So they even went to the roof. Imagine going and tearing apart the roof. Yeah, so that their friend can meet Jesus and be healed. They managed to remove the roof. I think that roof, biblically, I think it was something they make with mud. Yeah, things like that in Israel, and then it was easy. It was not like these ones. Yeah, it was easy to pull out, and then they make him descend, yeah, where Jesus was. So for them, the intention was that their friends, who was paralytic, may be healed, his physical healing. And to their surprise, Jesus said something different. Your sins are forgiven. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. Your sins are forgiven. Yeah, it brought a problem because the Pharisees that were there, who are you, man, to forgive sin? Only, yeah, who are you? But, and the men like, Jesus, we didn't come for this. Yeah, this is our friend. We want him up and running. Yeah, we want him up and running. Yeah, I think that was their reaction. Mm-hmm. They were disappointed that, you say, your sins are forgiven. And after all this work that we did, tearing apart this, we want him to be physically healed. But that was not the most important part of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That was what he knew what was more mm-hmm. important. He knew what was more lifelong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was his soul. It was Amen. His soul. So he started by healing or delivering what was most important. And then afterward, he healed him. He told him, okay, stand up and go. And he stood up and go. He came for physical healing, but he went with both, mm-hmm. spiritual and physical. So, I am a Christian. I became a Christian before becoming a doctor. So, I am still a Christian, but a doctor. So I am a Christian doctor. I am not a doctor Christian. I'm a Christian medical doctor. So I cannot separate medicine from healing. Even the medicine we do, mm-hmm. it's God healing. It's mm-hmm. God deciding to heal through us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not us. We treat God's heal. That's our motto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we treat God heals. So God called me to that. He called me when I was in a refugee camp, and he prepared the way, bringing one person at a time. I couldn't have afforded medical school. He brought people to pay for my medical school. He brought people to pay for my residency. And then when things were falling apart, he brought you in. And when things were falling apart, he brought you in. And then he brought people who put me in the mission organization, because it is hard for an African who is in Africa to be accepted in a mission organization that is based in Indiana, you know, without people knowing you. Mm-hmm. You can't just come from nowhere and say, I want to be a missionary. You have no one who knows you. You have no one who can mentor you, who can be a
sponsor.
No.
Reference.
A reference, you know, we call it a champion for you, mm-hmm. and saying, I know this guy, I know he can do this. But during my residence, God brought someone, a missionary, a Navy guy. We worked with him for 4 years. And then, during those 4 years, I was doing my things. I was walking, you know, talking to him, and for him, was writing down things. And almost after 4 years, said, do you want to join our organization? Yeah. We are trying out something new, having local missionaries, rather than sending Americans to Africa, having Africans be their missionaries there. We support, we see how they can be supported at home. Then that's how we applied. Now for us to be able to match the mission and their medical things together.
Yeah.
So we became part of World Gospel Mission Organization. Mm-hmm. So my vision then, it's both medical and advancing Christ. Yeah.
All goes together.
Yes. It cannot be separated. In Burundi, because I know for sure God called me for this country. This country is the first poorest country in the world. The first poorest country in the world.
Wow.
If you Google Burundi, you will see There's a lot of things. And the poverty, the reason why it is poor, it is because it has been, since I am alive, we are always constantly in a civil crisis. So we may be at peace for 5 years, and then something happens, takes us back, yeah, because we have people fighting. But this is where God called me to go, because there are so many people who are poor, who don't have access to health care. Let's say even access, there is even quality. We have a population of about almost officially 13 million something, but unofficially I think we are 15 million. But do you know how many doctors we have in the country?
One.
We have all specialty combines and the GPs combined, 647. That was the number of doctors that we had in 2017. Wow. That means a patient or doctor to patient ratio of 0.05. Wow. Yeah. So like for 10,000 patients or people, there is 0.05 doctor. Not even one doctor. Yeah. Yeah. 0.05. Yeah. Wow. And the majority of those doctors now are concentrated in the big towns, which is this Bujumbura that you see, the capital city here. Okay? So all these people here living countryside, where my calling is around like 12 million, they have maybe one specialist who can see. They have no cardiologist. They have no gynecologist. They have no pediatrician up there. They have no things. Only here in this place. This is where the missionaries that came from here who are there helping. Mm-hmm. How then do I want to be involved in this country? I want to go back. Medically, I cannot serve 12 million. I can't. But I can multiply. Mm-hmm. I can multiply. And we cannot afford, the poorest country in the world cannot afford to have multiple specialists in the in the countryside. What we can do is having family physicians in the countryside who can help with several things at a time. Mm-hmm. And the family physicians that we produce are adapted to the needs of the country. So we decided that we are starting family medicine program in Burundi. 2 weeks ago, before coming here, I was in Burundi to meet with the authority, means the Minister of Health and the Minister of Education, present to them about family medicine program. What if we start family medicine program that is based on biblical principles, but also that is adapted to the needs of the country? It will be a different family medicine program than the what you know here in America. It is more adapted to the needs of the country of Burundi. And we thank God, because the Burundian authority, they said, you were late. Yeah, they said, you were late, okay? You have to go ahead to start with the preparations and everything. So as I talk to you today, we have the approval of the government of Burundi to start the family medicine program in the country, so that we can have Christian doctors, not doctors Christian, Christian doctors who have a biblical perspective of medical field and advancing Christ in their career. We hope that by 2025, the program will be running. That's one of the things that we are going to do in Burundi. So as far as I'm in Kenya now, Kenya has been like a preparatory or a training site for me in many ways. Mm-hmm. Because since I'm going to be leading the program, the residency program, currently in Kenya, I'm also a deputy program coordinator of family medicine. So learning from behind how things goes. And then I think in June or July, I will be the program coordinator of the program. So like training. So being trained on how to run a residency program. We also, the country is the poorest country in the world. I am here today because people supported me, because people brought other people into my life, and they supported me. I went to school, I studied, and today I am in America because not me, not my family. People supported me. People had faith, and some even did not know me. There are people that God sent and they pushed me up. So one of our goals is to push other people's up. Mm-hmm. One of our goals is to push other people up. Because today I'm here. I don't know how many people I have impacted, but it's because other people have had faith in me and accepted to be used by God. So we want to be, we'll continue to be a vessel of blessings to other people. Because if we multiply other Boazes, and then other Boazes multiply, so we can make this country better. Mm-hmm. So there is support, medical, there's empowerment of other people, empowerment of other Christian believers to go to another level, academically, and also empower other people financially. We may treat people, but if they are hungry, they will still come back. We may treat people if they don't have what to eat, or if everything runs around poverty. Yeah. We may tell them about Christ, but if they are hungry, yeah, and we are eating, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not Christ-like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but we may not feed everyone, but we may empower those around us. So, and once we empower, it's like snowballing, you know? When I touch you, we touch each other, you know, it goes bigger. So that's one of the vision of my wife, okay, who is not in the medical field. She did nursing in Burundi, but when we reached here in Kenya, she said, I want to do something different. I wanted to do community development so that I can learn how to work with the people, how we can help the people go to another level in life. So, briefly, that's who we are. And that's what God has put in our lives. And today, being here, it's not me. I have done nothing to be here. It's God doing. It's part of what God has been doing since I'm 10. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the journey, the path that God has created, I'm just following the path. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a couple of things I wanted to mention. So Boaz is talking about going back to Burundi for medical, and of course as he shared the gospel and stuff, but also because of the poverty, is to try and help them learn how to take care of themselves. The whole idea about, rather than just giving the people a fish, you give them a fishing pole and teach them how to fish. So farming and things, the land, Burundi is very fertile
as far as the
land goes and so forth. So that's part of the vision in going back. Ed?
How many people in your area are you trying to affect? I mean, how many do you want to touch in that area?
So we will start with an area that has, we want, our vision is not to start with a big group. It's like starting with families, like we start like 10 families, for example. We work with those 10 families and see how it works maybe for 1 year or 2 years. So once those families are up, Okay? With those families, we touch other families, not like us. So with those families together. So we touch with like 5 or 10 families, depending on what we'll have at that particular time. Because we will not walk alone, we will walk with you. If you willing to join with that. So we start with those 5 or 10 families. We're having the same vision. We sit and say, this is what we are going to start. This is what we are going to do. And once we have reached this, okay, we have reached this place or this level, together we impact other people.
Mm-hmm.
So with the families, we go together so that we understand that they have to partake in others' blessings. We have a role to bless others. Once you are blessed, you bless others. So they are blessed, and then together again, we bless others, and the others so become like a community. Yeah.
You know, what if I could touch on a couple of things. One of the things that I just wanted to point out, because I know he won't point it out, is like as an example, we see doctors like our Derek Weber.
Yes.
He went to medical school over here. Soon as he gets to the point where he can go out and make money as a doctor in America, he goes over to Africa and is just living off the support of people who have sent him as a missionary. And you just look at that and you think of the sacrifice that he's gone through. And when I look at what's going on in Boaz's life, is there are people who have been able to grow up in Burundi, I have the opportunity to go to medical school, and they get out of there so that they can make money. They can go into Kenya, and they can make money because there's more money in Kenya or other parts of Africa. But the reality is, in Burundi, you're not going to make money as a doctor. So so I just bring that up because I know you won't, you know, to follow that vision that God has laid on your heart to go back there is really the same picture of, I've learned how to do this. Yeah. I could advance my family and move on, but just that sacrifice, really. And I think one of the things that that Boaz faces is he's not originating over here, so there's not a number of contacts and people to pool together and send him over. He's originating from over there. So the contacts that he's made have been few. There's been his colleagues that are missionaries. And so when he leaves here next week, he's going to Minnesota, and there's some colleagues there that have been medical missionary physicians that he's met over in Kenya and so forth, that he's going to be able to speak with other people sharing the same vision and so forth. And the reality is, you're committed to go,
yeah,
and he's going to do whatever he can with the resources he has.
Yeah.
And that's just how it works for all of us, really. You know, we do what we can. This is the vision, but you work with what you have.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that that I know is not easy to do, but is important to do, is to communicate the need. What is the need? And that is really investing so that it can then grow from there. And who knows what the Lord wants to do. And what's kind of neat, and we were talking about this, is when you just, again, listen to how just at the right time, it's just, I wish you all could just sit with us, like we've been, just for hours on end, to just hear how God just is obviously bringing people in. You know how you can kind of just tell this is beyond coincidence? Bringing people in at just the right time all throughout his life. We were talking about this trip in America where he's going to be, you know, sharing with us, but then he's going to be in Minnesota, and then he's in D.C. speaking at a big conference, and then the University of Maryland, I think. Is that right? You're going there. And it's not even like, oh, I hope I say the right thing. It's like, you know what? It seems like God is behind what's going on in your life. So it's just show up and watch what God does, you know? So I think it's just presenting, this is what's going on. And I think that's really, the rest is in whoever hears you's court on what God puts on our heart. You know how we've been talking on Sunday morning about as each one purposes in his heart? I think when God touches our heart, it's like, I really feel like I should do that. So the need, I know, is in the ministry for the medical and so forth. But it's also personal needs. You know, I mean, he's in the same boat as everybody else as far as putting food on the table, putting a roof over his head. And so that's part of the preparation he's trying to do, is how can I have a place to live there? And that's on a personal need level, which is different than a ministry need level. And when you talk about World Gospel Missions, their focus is on a ministry level, not on a personal need level. So the funding for that has to come through a different avenue, am I correct in that, in order to meet the needs of providing a house for him to stay in. And that you can still draw a salary through WGM,
yes,
to sustain the living, but to get set up where he's going. And it's really cool because you do have a gifting, I think, in administration and planning things out, and a very resourceful and frugal with which you have to be, I guess, with what you're doing. But he's got a very nice plan in a vision for building a home that's not only a place where he and his family can stay, but a place that can house the short-term missionaries that are coming in, the doctors and so forth, for a short period of time at his home and so forth. And so I just wanted to, before we have to wrap up here, I wanted to touch on the need so you guys would kind of know that. You get the background, but also, so what is the need that we have there? Do you guys have any questions as we're
Where were you born?
I was born in this country, Burundi.
Oh, you were born
yes,
in Burundi.
Yes, yes.
I was thinking Uganda or Kenya or something.
Yeah, I was born in Burundi, Bujumbura, the capital city.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you travel Dennis? All around and then back at home.
Yes. Hmm. Yes.
Dennis?
So you want to move to the countryside?
Yes.
And you want to establish a home and a medical practice there.
And a teaching practice.
Yes.
So we're looking at, that's when we see you, we see that's where you're going to start and fan out.
Right.
And we're looking at medical practice hospital.
So, as I said, family medicine that you want to do, I cannot touch the lives of all the Burundians mm-hmm. who are in this area. You see this small thing here? This is where like 99% of doctors are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all these, they need quality, access to quality medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot provide that. But I can provide that long term by training others.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how now, I am not working alone. There are those missionaries who are there, okay? We decided that to help the country, we need to start the family medicine program and make the family medicine program meet the needs of Burundi. So for example, a family physician that will train will be able to do surgeries. Some surgeries that here, no, I don't think the family physician here can do those surgeries. For example, hernia repair, remove uterus, things like that. Okay, because those are some of the things that kills people up camp there,
yeah.
Because there is no surgeon. Yeah, so we are going to adapt that family medicine program. For example, me, I'm a family physician. I can take out a uterus. I can do a hernia repair. I can, if someone has a bowel obstruction, I can cut the intestines and anastomosis back. But I'm not a surgeon. I was trained to meet the needs of the countryside,
mm-hmm.
where there is no surgeon, right. Where there is no pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the majority of the pediatrician. I'm not a cardiologist, but I do echoes. I look at the heart.
Echograms.
Mm-hmm. I look at the heart because that's my training is tailored to the needs of where I'm going to be. So that's the thing that we want to do, so that we train people according to the needs, and we're not training anyone. We are training Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We are training Christians who have the need and the heart to serve. So it will be a very, it's not everyone that say, I feel like I need this. No. We have to, it is going to be a calling. And then we train Christians who can go and serve, who are not after money.
Mm-hmm.
As Pastor Steve said, a doctor in Burundi currently earns less than $500 US per month. That's a specialist, like a family physician, less than $500 US. We have a doctor that we call a GP who is not a family, is just a medical student who finishes and does an internship, okay, and then goes to work. That one earns $150. How can you survive on that?
Mm-hmm.
Currently, there is a move of doctors running away from the country. Even at my hospital now, there is even a Burundian doctor who is there who has just run away from Burundi. People are running away. But I have been called to go there. So I'm making that sacrifice. Currently, if I work in Kenya, I go and say, I want to work in Kenya, things like be a full doctor in Kenya without mission, without doing anything in Kenya, I can earn $5,000 per month.
Mm.
Yeah. If I decide, I say, I am going to stay in Kenya, I want to be a full doctor in Kenya and go to private practice, I can even make that money.
Mm.
But if I decide to go to Burundi, it will be less than $500.
Let's go over here. Did you have a question?
He just answered it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
How big is Burundi? Like, how far is it to go to Congo, and how far is it to go?
Like miles.
Oh, is it? Miles, it is 27,000 kilometers square, the whole country.
Does that help?
I guess I'll Google it.
Yeah.
It is a very small country, so you can go throughout Burundi from south, north, west, east in less than 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
So from here to here, it can take you, if the roads are good, 4 hours. From here to here can take you another 4 hours. So it's a very small, tiny country. Yeah.
Driving?
Boaz. Yeah, driving.
Boaz.
Yes.
What would it cost for your family to live in Burundi for 1 month?
To live in Burundi for 1 month?
Yeah.
Okay, so according to WGM.
Yeah.
So what if you calculate that the kids need school?
Yeah.
The kids need insurance?
Yeah.
Food,
right? Yeah, housing.
Housing.
Your budget for a month.
So, from WGM perspective, the budget is 2,000.
Okay.
$2,000 per month.
Yeah.
So, this means cutters for the student, the children, and then future.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
2,000.
Okay.
Using the current dollar exchange.
Right, we just looked at it. Yeah. 0.0005.
You know, if I could throw out a number too, in the house that he is actually already started, is $70,000, to give you a number on, and that's two stories, three bedrooms upstairs, and three bedrooms downstairs.
Yes.
You know, kitchen, etc. So
I might want to move there for $70,000.
You could build a house. He could move in with you.
You can build that.
You could be a doctor.
Yeah. I was asking how much is building a house here, and I was like, what's wrong with you? Yeah, because it's cheap to build a house on the other side.
Yeah.
So that if I build that house at that $70,000, everyone will think I'm rich.
You know, if I could just touch on this too, something that I didn't realize, he just, even as he is right now, going into a poor country, yet having the medical experience, having American support, puts him in a very awkward situation with his country, the people there. And so it's funny because he's kind of, there's really almost like no place to lay your head. You know, there's no, because he's in that, and I don't want to elaborate on it because you guys have questions and stuff. But that's one thing that I think we don't factor in is just the, like, as you're an American missionary and you go over there, you stand out like a sore thumb, you know, and people recognize that. But you have your American missionaries and so forth. As a national over there, it's like you're right in the middle of things, and there's no, you kind of are, it's a challenge. The relatability aspect becomes an effort all in its own. So that's part of it. Bob, did you have something?
Yeah, I was curious about something. You mentioned the tribal issues and the infighting and stuff in Burundi. Will you be needing any kind of security that maybe we could provide?
Thank you. One thing now, being a WGM missionary, I'm also under WGM protection. Means if they need to evacuate, they will evacuate.
Mm.
Though I am in Burundi, if there is, for example, insecurity, and then I feel like my life is in danger, they will evacuate. That's the rules. But now, as far as Burundi is concerned, they respect, there are things that they respect. They respect hospitals. They will really not go and attack in a hospital settings. Yeah, so currently, there is no fighting. So we are in that period where things are okay. And then sometimes, just from out of nowhere, things are again there. But currently, there is kind of peace, but there is tension because people are poor. People are hungry, and some guys are getting richer at the expenses of the poor people. So, yes. So we are worried that something can happen again in the near future.
So
yes.
The tribal conflict is kind of always there.
Yes, the tribal conflict has always been there. The thing is, they were like, the people were in power for the last 60 years. Now, are not in power.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the other people who are saying like, oh, you know, we have been oppressed. No, you guys. So now they went in power. They are hungry. They came hungrier. You know, they came hungrier, and then they are doing exactly the opposite of what they're supposed to do. No, they are becoming richer. They are stealing to become richer. I think they are trying to balance out. You know, so they are stealing, becoming rich at the expenses of the poor people. So they are not making any difference to the common people. Just.
So if I could follow up, so for example, if a Caucasian person like myself wanted to go there to help you, would it be a detriment because of my appearance?
No.
I was just curious.
We respect foreigners. We respect foreigners than even how we respect ourselves. We give, really, this is really interesting. We give more power to foreigners than that we give to. The way the government will treat you, they will treat you nicely than they treat me. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I don't know if it's because they think you are bringing money in than me.
Let's just do, like, just for time's sake for everybody's, because I know we're at 8:30. Dan, maybe we could take you and then close in prayer, and then obviously we're going to be here. We have nowhere to go, right?
Yes, I'm
here.
We're
going to be hanging out. You guys can keep talking if you want.
Yeah,
but Dan,
I was just wondering how the gospel received, and is there a Muslim presence there, and is there anything going on there?
That's a very good question. And that's what, that breaks my heart. Because Burundi is said statistically being more than 95% Christians. Yeah.
95% Christian?
Yeah, yes. More than 95% Christians. But I think the mistake that was done, we made a lot of Christians than disciples. Church leaders made Christians, okay, people who attend, you know, I think those statistics are based on people who attend churches.
Christian in name only is the idea.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's the statistic, is based on people who they have a Christian name, but also they say that they are Christians just because they attend churches. Because for me, it is difficult for me to understand how 95% of people, we are still the way we are.
Mm-hmm.
Poor, stealing, no care for one another, not thinking about my neighbor, you know, and we are Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is difficult. So I think we made Christians by name, but we didn't make disciples. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things that is in our heart is to partner with also some Christian organization to form biblical perspective or based teachings, like people to know the Bible really, rather than reading it as a story or something that has passed, that has no impact in my life, that's not changed my life. And we have we have two people already that are willing to partner with us to work on that. So, journey of making disciples, and I am very happy that there are many group of people that are seeing the same, that we need to make disciples. rather than Christian by names. Mm-hmm. We have a presence of Muslims in the country, but they are few, and they are not radical Muslims. Mm-hmm. They are, I think them also many of them, they are Muslims by name. They are not like these ones that who have like strong things. There has been a good cohabitation between Muslims and the Christians. The president attended their function, they attend the functions of Christians. It has been a good cohabitation. They are few. I think they are less than 1% of the people.
Really?
In the country. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go, let's pray, okay? And then we'll, if you guys want to, if, yeah, we're here, okay?
So before I finish, yeah?
Yeah.
It's good that Pastor said about the needs. I want to be specific about that. My organization, WGM, is fine with me talking to people about my personal needs. Personal needs, which is very important for me to go to Burundi. The most personal need that really I need right like now, yeah, it's being able to build and finish the house. That's a personal need. Mm-hmm. Because currently, I cannot go to Burundi with my family too. If I have to go to Burundi, I go alone so that I can stay at my pastor's house, okay? Because there is no room for all of us there. And then my wife and the kids, they will go later so that they can stay at their... She can stay at her parents' house with the kids. Mm. So we cannot go together as a family. Because if we go together as a family, we don't have where to stay. If we were to rent an Airbnb... It will be like a 1,000 per month, yeah. So which is expensive.
Yeah.
So we go at different times. So like now I was there in March. My wife and the kids they will go in July. Mm-hmm. So that different times because of where to stay. But when we had a where to stay as a family, we can go. And then when we go even for good, okay, we need where to stay. Mm-hmm. So that's really a need that is pressing on us. The house, it's big, but not that expensive compared to here. It's 70,000. Three bedroom down, three bedroom up. Yeah? And concrete, cement, you know, made of concrete and bricks. Yeah? That will host you guys when you come. Yes, we'll be very happy to host you, to have you, and other missionaries that are coming to Burundi. For ministry, and that money now, if someone is willing to, doesn't go through WGM. Because once it goes to WGM, they don't give me as a personal need. No. Yeah. So it comes direct to me, either direct to me like here, or direct to him, to him and then to me. But for ministry related now, for all the other things, the work, the helping children going to school, education, things like that, okay, it, or the things that we'll be doing in medical things, it goes through WGM. Mm. And then for accountability purposes of that money, yeah, so it goes through there, and then when we are doing something, we request for the money to come to us, and then we do, yeah. So those two things, I wanted to make them clear, how important it is currently for us, for the house, and then the ministry issues.
You know, one thing too that, I appreciate the sensitivity between the two, but I think I can speak for most all of us that we recognize that when a missionary is on the field, that we don't necessarily separate ministry from personal because we recognize you've got to live.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to eat and so forth. And so it's like, here's the resources. Be a good steward as God leads you, you know. So, but it gives you a good idea on how, what the needs are and how the ministry organization, especially their position and how they can work as an agency in this country as well.